just loves you. Rock on! Wow!
Podcast Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me this week is Mr. Jody Havnot.
Hey, greetings, Kiss Army. Greetings to you too, Joe.
And all the way from the Strange Ways podcast is Mr. D-Rock.
How's it going?
How's it going? Good. Thank you guys for joining me this week. Listen, man, we had huge numbers this week. Thank you very much. To everyone out there that listened and downloaded and just played it on their phone, man, we can't thank you enough.
It's awesome.
Yeah, totally awesome. So now that you're listening, it's the beginning of the show, so I want to get you guys to do a couple of things. A, go and subscribe on iTunes. B, leave us a review. That would be amazing and appreciated. That's all that out of the way. Let's talk Kiss. That's what you guys are here for. In case you didn't know. News. One of the first topics that I want to talk about is Tommy Thayer said that he felt that the Scooby-Doo movie did more for them than a new record.
I think so, too.
You guys agree?
I totally do. It's going to tie into our topic later, too. But yeah, I totally believe that.
I think it brought in a lot of younger crowd into, you know, venturing into what Kiss is about because of the Scooby-Doo movie.
Exactly. I mean, how many times did little kids stop you, Joe? We've talked about it before.
Yeah, we've talked about it a few times where I would be in my son's school and somebody would go, "Hey, that's Kiss. I know Kiss." And then I'd go, "Oh, yeah? Name the guys." And then they would go, "That's the Spaceman. That's the Catman. That's the Demon. And that's the Star Child." And I would go, "Right, cool." Inside my head, I'm going, but it's true. They got it. They, you know, the point of the movie was to get younger people to pay attention and to learn who the characters were, and it worked. Although, you know, I got to tell you, I put a thing on Facebook asking people if they agreed, right, with what Tommy said, and a few people posted comments. So, Scott Harding wrote, "I was camping a week ago, and one of the young kids there saw my meet-and-greet photo with the band and said, 'Hey, I know those guys. They're from Scooby-Doo.' So I can't fault the band for that kind of recognition, and I thought the cartoon was pretty cute. That said, I will always," and then in bold caps, "always want new music."
Well, yeah. Who doesn't want new music? But it's like, that Scooby-Doo did get them a lot more fans than the record. Look at the sales of Monster, you know, versus, I'm sure they've sold more DVDs than they did of Monster. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, well, I think that was, you know, a lot of the point, like we just said, you know, was for them to be able to reach out to a new generation to start another generation of Kiss fans, you know?
Yeah, it's great. It's like, for a lot of kids today, that's kind of like when I saw 3-2-1 Contact as a kid. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, man. I'll never forget that. I have it on DVD.
It was great for the kids, but it was also great to someone like me, dude. I loved that Scooby-Doo thing because of all the little Easter eggs and all the really cool footage, you know? Like, you know, we've talked about it to death, but when they change costumes and all that, it's killer, dude.
Yeah, and I just noticed today that it's for sale at Walmart for $9.99 now, which isn't that bad of a deal
because it's
a really good movie. The other thing is if you guys want to hear our show on it, you just go to iTunes or Podomatic and look it up. We did it right after it came out, and it was a lot of fun because we point out all the little things that we could find.
Yeah, I loved it, man. I really did.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. Did you guys see that Kiss did a private fundraiser like in some dude's backyard?
I did not. What happened?
All right. So they got asked to do a fundraiser for I think it was two different charities at the same time. And 900 people shelled out anywhere between $500 and $50,000 That number is crazy. At a benefit concert for two global charities called Opportunity International and Matter. And they didn't play in makeup or anything. They just played, you know, in street clothes.
But electric still, or acoustic?
Yeah, electric.
Cool.
How awesome would that be to have in your backyard?
Yeah, it would be really cool. That's like the fantasy, like a Spicoli fantasy, you know? Get Kiss to play your backyard. It's killer.
Yeah, you know, like 900 people, you know? It's
that would have been a good time. You think they just did the normal set, or you think it was kind of like that Sail Away Electric set?
I've only seen one little bit of video, so I'm waiting, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure somebody's going to put it out there, you know? But still, that's pretty... pretty cool, you know?
Yeah, it's super cool. Plus, it was for charity, so everybody wins.
Yeah, and now I think there's a Fox News interview with them about it, I think, as well on KissOnline.com. So if you guys get a chance, go check it out.
Podcast Rock City.
Topic for the week. Jody suggested a good one. Our top three positive and our top three negative things about Kiss.
Yeah, I kind of looked at it as like the top three greatest and worst things they've ever done. It could be records, it could be tours, it could be whatever you want it to be.
Okay, so here's the thing. If you're listening to this show and you're listening to our positive and negatives, make sure you send us at podcastrockcity1, that's the number one, at gmail.com, your list, you know, send us your list of things, and I'll read them on the show next week. All right, so I'll go with my first. You want to do a positive?
Let's do positive first.
Okay, I'll do my first positive. My first positive, and this is going to be controversial, is Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park. Now, the reason why I picked that is because at the time it was really awesome. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It wasn't as funny as it is to us now, as it is now. Then, you know, I remember seeing kids pretending like they were Ace doing backflips and shit. And even though some people will go, oh, well, this really hurt them, you know, I sit back and go, that's not how I remember it. You know, what I remember is everybody, you know, believing that they had these superpowers.
Yeah.
You know?
It's interesting because that almost made my my worst list, only because of kind of like the division, you know, that was where it really started getting bad for Kiss, you know?
Right, right.
But I love the movie. Who doesn't? But it didn't end up on my negative list, but it almost did. I think it was a positive thing, kind of like the Scooby-Doo, because it, you know, it did turn a lot of kids on. You could finally see Kiss up close and personal, you know, moving around and talking and shit.
Talking, yeah, yeah, that was the, you know, the main thing, is that, you know, you could hear their voices, except for Peter's, of course, but you didn't know that.
And Gene, you know, with that,
and
like,
Gene with that little growling thing going on.
Warble. It makes sense, you know, they're such a visual band, just like the Scooby-Doo thing. I mean, when you can see them and hear their music, it's cooler than just hearing it, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Who wants to go next? D-Rock, you want to go?
Yeah, sure. We've already hit on this quite a bit already, you know, today, but my first like was the fact that they actually did the Scooby-Doo movie.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, for all the reasons stated, it's cool that they could turn on a whole new generation, you know?
Well, and plus, in this movie, you know, we all picked up on it, you know, that are Kiss fans, but everything, like, people's names, and, like, the evil villain they were fighting at the end, and all that, all of it had a reference to a Kiss song.
It's totally cool.
And I thought that was really ingenious, you know, and really cool. That they were able to work in their songs as like characters' names or the battle's name, you know, and the special weapon, you know, at the end, you know, and
Black Diamond and all that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just thought it was really unique that they went about it that way. Worked not only themselves into the cartoon, but like their music, you know, and the names of their songs into the characters and everything, you know, that was going on in the movie.
Oh, yeah, and I'll tell you what, I love Jay and Silent Bob at the beginning where they're trying to test drive the roller coaster. It seems so bizarre that they're in there, you know, but it was cool that they were.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. All right, Jody, you got one?
Sure, I got one. The first one that really meant a lot to me then, and even like last night I was watching footage of this, and I still get the same feeling, man. It was just so exciting, and I'm talking about the reunion 96. That was like one of the coolest things that ever happened, as far as I'm concerned, in all the years that I've been a Kiss fan. It was just so over the top exciting to be sitting there knowing that, you know, once you get through whatever shitty opening band, that actually Kiss was behind that curtain and they were going to come out and play and make up. It was just so fucking cool.
Right. That is on my list as well. I had the reunion for the same reason, because it was what their fans wanted, you know, more than, I mean, it was what they wanted too, you know, because of money wise, but they're in music to make a living, but their fans wanted this and they gave it to their fans. And that's why I thought it was so wonderful.
Yeah. Everything about it was just so rad. Like I was watching some, the actual Tiger Stadium last night. And just the little things, like in the middle of Cold Gin, where it hits that big G and they come together and high-five in the center stage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just little things like that. It's like, fuck yeah, Kiss is back, you know? And I don't know, there's just something really magical about that time. And any footage I watch of it, even, you know, 20 years later now, I still get these, like, it's like butterflies in my stomach and my smile is like ear to ear, you know?
Yeah, because it was fun time, man, you know?
Yeah, it was like, you know, for people like me, we never got to see Kiss in makeup, and I never thought I would, and then, you know, the reunion just got dropped on us out of nowhere, and it was just so exciting and awesome. I still get excited about it. It's just so cool. But who would have thought, you know, 20 years after the reunion, they're still in makeup, you know? Wow.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I would have thought that would have happened. I thought they would have...
I thought they were going to go back to Bruce and Eric, yeah. But, no,
which
didn't happen.
It wouldn't have been bad for them to do that either, you know?
I don't think they could ever go back after, I mean, once you're Kiss again and you're huge again, I don't know, you know?
Right, yeah. Okay, so that was my number two, but I'm going to throw in another one, okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to throw out Kiss Exposed.
Hell yeah. That's another one, man, like, that really... had a huge impact on a lot of younger fans, you know?
Yeah, you know,
me included.
It was the first time a lot of people saw a video.
Exactly.
You know, of like the Australian tour, you know, or Rio, or, you know, because unfortunately we didn't have the internet and we couldn't just, you know, type in Kiss Rio and watch. Right.
It's the first time, like, you saw Winterland, any of that stuff.
Winterland. Oh, man, I remember being blown away by that.
And it was the first time you saw your girl from Who Wants to Be Lonely.
Yeah, and that was how I fell in love. I can see it now in my head. Thank you, Jody, for that visual.
I'm here for you, brother.
Let me help you out.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. So let's see, D-Rock. What you got?
All right. My second one on the list. This is probably going to sound kind of stupid, but I'm actually glad that they went back to makeup after they went on their, you know, out of makeup spree, because it kind of seemed like the more and more that they stayed out of makeup, the more and more they lost touch with Kiss. And, like, once they got back into the makeup, they got back into their personas, and their characteristics came out, back out in their music, you know, and it seemed like Kiss again, you know, once they went back to wearing their makeup.
So yeah, you're saying the reunion as well?
Yeah, basically the reunion.
Right, well, I never got to see the 96 reunion, you know.
Right.
But, you know, because the next time I got to see a concert was when me and you went to the... 2000 concert when they had Skid Row and Ted Nugent.
Everybody knows all about that.
Yeah, yes. Our strange ways.
Yeah, and if you guys get the opportunity out there, you want to check that out, go to iTunes and type in Strange Ways. Strange Ways. And these guys did a podcast for a long time, a lot of shows. That's how I met Jody. That's how I met D-Rock, from listening to their show, grocery shopping at 2 in the morning, listening to Strange Ways. It's a really good show. They haven't done one in a while, but I keep hoping that eventually we're going to get a new one. This is practical. This is kind of Strange Ways.
More or less, yeah.
Yeah.
Same crew.
Same crew. Anyway, okay, let's see. Yeah, Jody, what you got? What's your next positive?
I gotta go with, man, just Kiss Alive, dude. Because without it, we wouldn't even be sitting here talking about this right now. You know what I mean?
Right.
It all comes down to Alive.
Yeah, absolutely. One of my students, Liam, his mom just got a record player, and I sent her a message, and it said, hey, does Liam get to use that record player? And basically she said, Liam gets to hear what comes out of it. So this week I brought him Kiss Alive. I got an extra copy.
Nice.
And I brought it to my class, and I said, tell your mom, she needs to put this on for you.
There you go.
But I also brought him Back in Black, Van Halen 2, Peace of Mind, Maiden.
Nice.
Vengeance, Priest, you know?
Yeah.
What else? Journey, Frontiers.
I gave him a little... up right.
I did, man. I set him up.
And Cheech and Chong up in smoke.
Yeah, there you go.
And it still has the rolling paper in it. Big, right. big bamboo, or what was it called?
I think that was it.
Yeah, I can't remember. But the kid's mom, she would think it was funny because she's laid back.
Right.
But she
kept that one for herself.
I'm not sure about that. I doubt that one, but she would have definitely thought it was funny. She might have looked at me and went, you know how impossible it is to find the paper for this? You know?
Yeah.
Should have gave him Born in East L.A.
David Lee Roth, Eat 'em and Smile.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brutal.
Yes, absolutely. I'm trying to think. Okay.
Kiss Alive.
Kiss Alive, man. That's a absolutely. That with like you said, without that record, we got nothing.
Yeah, we probably wouldn't be even. No one would even remember Kiss, probably.
Yeah. Let's see. I did three.
You did three? No.
Yeah, no. One of mine was a double of yours, so I'll throw out another one. This is my third one.
All right.
I love the McFarlane comic books.
Oh, yeah, Psycho Circus.
Yeah, that's good shit right there.
I loved that. I was always really big into Spawn, and when I saw he came out with Psycho Circus, man, I have every issue of that thing.
Yeah, me too, and I was a big McFarlane fan, and very excited when I saw... First, I was excited when I saw that the action figures that were going to get put out by McFarlane. And then he went ahead and did the comic. That was really smart, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's cool.
That really kicked them off a lot better, too. That, you know, I mean, that comic book was awesome, you know, and gave them, like, whole different, like, backgrounds. You know, yeah. like Peter was with the circus or whatever, you know.
What was he called? The Beastmaster or something?
Yeah. Like
that? It's crazy.
And it's like Ace's character was like that dude from the Guardsman or Doctor or whatever, you know. He just looked like a formless... like space guy that floated around on a planet, you know?
Right, yeah. It was like, I think they called him like Celestial.
Celestial, I think you're
right. Yeah, I think so. I can't remember them all, but that was really good. The covers were great. The art was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, McFarlane can draw, and he didn't do all of them, but I don't think, but he definitely.
He's very talented.
Yeah, he definitely got into it. D-Rock, number three.
All right, and this one's going to sound pretty weird to you guys, too, but... Well, you know, I'm the oddball in the bunch. I'm actually glad that they actually opened up their own line of, like, restaurants.
Yeah?
You know, I think that's going to open up eyes a lot to another, you know, group of people, you know, that normally wouldn't, you know, have... gave a second thought to the band Kiss if they were in a record store, you know?
Right. Rock and Brews, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, those Paul Stanley meatballs really sell that place. Some asparagus. Awesome.
Yeah, we don't have one in Atlanta yet, so...
We got one coming this fall here in St. Louis, so we're going to have to go down there and for the opening and mingle with the boys.
That is awesome.
I hope.
I wonder what it costs.
I don't care. It's going to be cool.
I don't know, but I heard that, you know, they're not chintzy on the food either. I mean, I've heard they've got some huge burgers.
Yeah. Well, good.
Right on.
That's the good stuff. All right, Jody, your final positive.
Okay, my final positive is probably the biggest one of them all, because this applies to me and you and D-Rock and probably everyone listening and every band that's ever existed since Kiss. It's just the influence that they've had on not only just the musicians, but the live show in general. I mean, like Paul says, dude, every show post-Kiss has Kiss DNA in it, right? Bombs, right. Fire, big stages, blood, all that shit. Maybe right. Not the blood so much, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And so I think it's just their influence to, you know, musicians and pop culture in general is probably second only to, well, maybe third to, like, Elvis and the Beatles, you know?
Sure.
I agree. You know, it's like, it almost seems like every band nowadays, since Kiss came out and started doing that, they always think in the back of the head, how can I make this show as good or if not better than a Kiss concert? Because it's like, they set the bar
for they totally raised the bar.
Shows should be.
Exactly. So that's my third one. I mean, it's undeniable, you know, the impact that they've actually had on pop culture is ginormous, as you might say.
I agree 100%. You know, it's like even my band, you know, Bay City Psychos, we mask our faces, we put on a big show, you know, we have confetti guns, we fire into the crowd. You know, it's the music is the soundtrack to what we're doing on stage.
Right. You got a cod piece.
Yeah. even my guitar has a strobe light built into one of the pickups.
It's totally cool.
You know, so I...
And you just play like Ace, from what I can hear. I hear it.
I don't know.
Lead-wise, yes, you do.
Maybe a little bit.
A little bit. You're funny.
But I can't even put myself in the same sentence with him. But yeah, you know, you see my lead, you know, and then I play my last solo, and I wanted to do something special, but I couldn't put a light in my guitar that just turns on and smoke comes out. So I didn't do the smoke, but I put a strobe light in it that I totally could control from the guitar. And, you know, that's all Ace, that's all Kiss, you know, I was just like, you know, when we were putting the Bay City show together, the first thing I said was, we have to walk on stage and make everybody that goes after us, you know, not ever want to go on after us again.
Right. Go out there and destroy every time.
Yeah, and it worked quite a few times. People would be on stage, you know, at the show going, oh, no. We're not following that, you know?
Right.
Which is really funny. But that's all Kiss influence, you know? You know, they would say we would go out there and put on the boxing gloves and...
Yeah. Just think about how many guitar players alone were influenced to pick up a guitar because of Kiss. I mean, thousands upon thousands.
Yeah.
Even
everybody,
famous people, you know what I mean?
Yeah, lots of famous people, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I put them at number three behind Elvis and the Beatles as far as that goes.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. You know, there's some Bruce Springsteen fan out there right now going...
crying.
Yeah.
Being all deep in his thoughts. Wah.
And thinking about helping out people in America. Anyway, let's see. All right, so those were the positives. Now let's hit the negatives. This was easy. My first negative was that stupid Kiss and Archie comics.
You don't like that, huh?
No! I didn't. I read like one or two of them, and I was like, what the hell is this? And why can I get it at Toys R Us?
still, it's like, you know, they're pushing themselves on the younger generation. It's great.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm a fan of it, but you know what I mean.
Archie Comics, man. Old people. Or nobody.
Well, you know, when I was a kid, I didn't mind Archie's.
Oh, there it was. Yeah, you're a Jughead fan.
Oh, yeah. Betty Veronica.
He's in love with Monica.
I even like Josie and the Pussycats.
Oh, now, see, that's different. Josie and the Pussycats and Kiss would have been awesome.
Yeah.
This was Archie.
Doom Patrol and Kiss would be cool. Yeah. Little Vicky. Anyways. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was like... I don't think it's as bad as a lot of the other shit that they've done, though. You know, like, shit, man. Hello Kitty. All right,
well, hold on. How about this, then? You beat that negative. What was worse?
Well, my list is a little different. It's not necessarily a product, but the first one on my list, though, is just kind of 1978, if you know what I'm saying. Like, they kind of, that's when it all kind of fell apart, basically. I think that instead of doing the solo albums and maybe the movie, they should have maybe just taken a couple months off, because they deserved it, man. You know, we've talked about it. As soon as they started, they toured relentlessly until basically 78, you know? Then they could have taken a little break, and it might have made a big difference. Like, you know, maybe Ace and Peter might have ended up sticking around. I think that the solo albums, you know, don't get me wrong, I love them. You know, Kiss fans love them, but for the general population, they were more or less a fail.
Yeah.
They were look at these pompous assholes putting out four records, and then there's, you know, a lot of people would say there's only really two decent ones.
Right.
I mean, we love all four, but we're those weird Kiss dudes, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different, but I think in general, though, that they really made a misstep, because if they would have maybe taken a break, we might not have got the solo records yet, and they might not have... It just all kind of leads in and starts at 78, because then after that, after the solo records, we got Dynasty, and we all know the effects of that to the Kiss world, you know?
Right.
So I think that I would just say 1978 was kind of like, they should have maybe taken a break and released that double record that Gene had talked about doing, you know? It would have been a lot cooler than the solo records. I hate to say it, because I do love those records, but you know what I mean? It could have totally changed history. I think a break would have really just, you know, probably saved the band.
Yeah, made them miss each other, and, you know. Yeah,
dude. And if they would have taken it, I think that maybe, who knows what would have happened. We might have had the original lineup for a few more years, at least.
Who knows? Right, absolutely. D-Rock, what you got?
All right, and we've touched base on this a lot, too, but my first one is that they don't ever, for like many years now, they don't change up their show lists at all.
Yeah.
Right. They're constantly playing the same songs. I mean, they may change one or two, but again, like we've said before, they have all these other killer fucking albums and all these other great songs that they just don't play. You know, unless you're lucky enough to go on the Kiss Cruise and, you know, and they spice it up on there. But they don't do it for the general public when they go on tour.
No, I agree. We beat that one to death.
I think every Kiss fan has beat that subject
like
to death.
Like I said, it's hard to come up with, you know, dislikes, you know.
But it's a good one, though. You know, it's you know, quality of show is still there. It's just not surprise. It's no surprise. Yeah. Let's see. My next one is dislike that they did not tour for Unmasked and the Elder in the States.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have loved to have seen Unmasked.
If you look at that Sydney show, dude, they were burning it up. It would have been great, but I just don't think they had an audience here in the States at the time. Isn't that why they were kind of MIA?
Yeah, but still.
But see, that totally goes back to the 78. Like, if it would have happened differently, who knows? They could have put out the same exact records, but still had a following, because at some point, I bet at the time, it'd be like, geez, Kiss, Kiss, Kiss. You know, two records a year, and people did get burned out, you know? Maybe if they would have spaced it out a little bit, they could have toured Unmasked in the U.S., and we would have all, you know, people would have loved it, because they were really solid with Eric Carr. an ace.
Right, yeah, they were, yeah.
But yeah, I would have loved to have seen that. But yeah, we didn't get it, man, so that is kind of negative, isn't it?
Yeah. All right, Jody, you're next.
My next one, it's probably no surprise to you guys, but I would just say Psycho Circus, dude. Just everything about it. Every fucking thing about it. Except for maybe the actual song. I don't mind that, but...
Yeah, that song's not bad.
My whole trip was, okay, the reunion happens, right? I was so freaking hyped up on Kiss. Like, I was already a huge Kiss freak, but once the reunion happened and I got to see it live and all that, it just amped it up, like, times 10, you know what I mean? So I was, like, super Kiss dude, and I was, like, dying and so excited to hear this new Kiss record with Ace and Peter, you know what I mean? Get it, bring it home, put it on, and it's like, huh? It didn't even sound anything like Kiss to me. And I've said it before, it was probably the most disappointing time in my whole life as a Kiss fan, is getting that record and getting it home and listening to it. It was one of those moments where I was like, geez, man, my shit sucks. You know what I mean?
Gave me that copy of that album because you didn't like it.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want this. This isn't what I want. I mean, it would have been different if Ace and Peter were actually on the damn thing. It might have sounded like Kiss, but the way it is, it just was the biggest letdown in all my Kiss-tree. It was just the biggest letdown in all my years as a Kiss fan.
I wonder how many other people are... I mean, there are a lot of people that believe the same thing.
It's just not what I wanted at the time, you know? I'm not saying that if you like it, you're stupid or anything, but...
Right.
It just wasn't what I was looking for. And because of it, I kind of phased out of Kiss for a little while, you know?
Right. I think a lot of people did.
But yeah, so that would be my, I guess, second one.
All right. Let's see. My third one.
Wait, you haven't hit my second one.
Oh, your second one. D-Rock. My bad. Let's hear it.
And this is my last one because I couldn't come up with a third one. But I don't like the fact that, you know, it seems like, you know, after every couple of albums back in the day, they would come out with a live one. They came out with, what, three? You know, they haven't come out with another live album. I'd love to hear them come out with another live album.
Right, not since 4, right?
Right.
Or 4, yeah, they came out with 4.
Yeah, they missed the boat on the Alive series, you know, as far as I'm concerned. They should have kind of stuck to that original formula. But I don't know what they would have done for Alive 3 then, you know. Dynasty.
Well yeah, it would have been... Unmasked,
Eldered. Some Alive 3.
They could have released Alive 3. Could have been live from Sydney.
That was a good show,
right?
Yeah, you know, they could have. That would have been perfect. Alive, you know, live from Sydney, and you know, they could have. You could have folded that one open, and it would have been the stage where all the fireworks going off, and
yeah.
Oh,
so then right. Alive 4 would have been like the Animalize live uncensored.
Right.
Shoot, we'd be on a bunch of Alives by now, huh?
And I would have bought them all.
Yeah, me too. Obviously. So what was your next one then, Joe?
Two words. Hello Kitty.
With you on that 100%.
Oh my gosh. I don't mind the peppermints, you know? It's like, I don't know how many people bring me the peppermints. They're like, oh, I was standing in line at this place and I saw the Hello Kitty peppermint, you know, the little tins.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I've got all 4. And then somebody else, you know, shows up, you know, 6 months later. Oh, look, hey, I was standing there earlier on sale. They were $2. So I got the whole set for you. Oh, thanks, man. So I got more Hello Kitty peppermints. And then it just, you know, I get that it's two icons, you know, and I get that it's all Japanese, right? You know?
Yeah.
I don't think the Hello Kitty thing is American. I think that's
I think it's from somewhere.
Japan, I think.
Yeah, you're right.
But, you know, I don't know. It just, maybe it seems a little, it seems like it's what they were trying to do with Scooby-Doo. Like, they were, you know? the Scooby-Doo thing succeeded where Hello Kitty, although, you know, I still see it every once in a while on people, right?
I mean, it succeeded in what they were trying to do, which was just make some extra money. I mean, it succeeded.
Yeah, and attract girls, you know?
Yeah, I mean, by the time that stuff came out, it's like, what won't, you know, there's so much saturation of weird and kind of pointless kiss products that it's like, it didn't shock me, and it doesn't really bug me any worse than the coffin, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, I mean, everybody knows Kiss will put their name on anything. I just kind of wish they'd stick it on more records and DVDs and shit like that.
Yeah.
We all feel the same way.
We all feel the same way, yeah. Jody, what's your third?
Let's see here. One of the things that kind of bugs me about Kiss, I don't like the whole like branding of Demon, Starchild, Catman, Spaceman. Because when I was a kid, I wasn't like, man, I really want to play guitar like the Spaceman.
Right.
I was like, I want to play guitar like Ace Frehley, dude.
Right.
You know? And, you know, that vocal from the Star Child sounds great on Come On and Love Me. I mean, you know what I mean? We didn't...
Right, yeah.
And when did it become the, you know... It's weird that Gene's the Demon, because before he was the Bat Lizard, you know what I mean? And Peter might have been like the, what was it, the Silver-Nosed Tomcat or whatever.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I get what they're trying to do with it, but I don't like it, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah. It's like, you know, it's just that it's changing our tradition.
Yeah, I mean, underneath that makeup is Paul Stanley, and it's weird to me to like that he even would want to give up that his name like that to be known as just the Star Child, you know?
I mean, would you, at a live show, would you just shit a golden brick if Gene Simmons, you know, walked up to the mic and went, Star Child! You know, or Tommy does this solo and he goes, that's the Spaceman!
Right.
You'd be like, what?
Yeah. Spaceman on lead guitar!
Yeah, no!
It just sounds goofy. I mean, I think it's just, you know, so they could live on and it doesn't have to be about Gene and Paul, so they can kind of go on without them, but I just don't like it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right, well, those were our positives and negatives. If you've got something to add, send it to podcastrockcity1.
That's the number one.
@gmail.com. That would be awesome. I want to do a couple of things real quick, okay?
Yeah.
One, I got an email and I did, and somehow I missed it, and I wanted to make sure I read it. It goes back to our what ifs.
Cool.
Okay, and it's from David Hetrick. Hey, David.
Hi, David.
It says it was about what if Ace had died? Remember?
Yeah.
That night in the when he got electrocuted, and he's from Reading, PA. It says. I think if Ace died in Lakeland, the rest of the band would have played a show the next night, just like the Who did after Entwistle died. Kiss would throw a wig on Bob Kulick and play that night. I think they all hated each other at that point. I don't know that they would have done that. That's a lot, man.
Yeah, I don't think they would have gone that far.
I think maybe in a month they would have been back
home. Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, that's the thing. I don't know. That's the whole point of a what if. Thanks, David, for sending that in. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, that's really cool.
The other thing that I wanted to mention was, and I know Jody saw it, I met Ryan McKay.
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter. It's really cool.
Yes, if you guys don't know who Ryan is. He is one of the hosts of the Shabby Road Record Show.
Yep.
And if you know, it's really cool. What happened was, I knew he was coming to town. He sent me a message and it said, "Dude, I'm in town. We got to hang out." And his band was playing, and he left me two tickets at the door at the place they were playing. And I will tell you right now, he's in the Louis Prima Junior Band. Do you know who Louis Prima is, guys?
Yeah.
Okay, so they basically did Louis Prima music, but it's his son singing all the tunes, you know? Wow. Like the song from The Jungle Book, or like I'm Just a Gigolo, and shit like that, you know?
Yeah.
And they were amazing, and I had a great time, and I brought my buddy Doug with me, and man, that the place they played was really nice, and the band was great. And at the end of the show, it was really cool because we went to the after party, and Ryan, you know, introduced me to Louis Prima Jr. And then Ryan goes, Louis's not a big fan of Kiss, and he goes, oh, you guys are talking about Kiss. And then in my head, I'm going, of course he doesn't like Kiss. His father was like this fucking big band guy, you know? and that's when he says it.
Influenced he goes, Peter.
Well, that no, well, that's when he goes, I was an AC/DC fan.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was even in an AC/DC cover band before he was doing his dad's music, which I thought was pretty cool. Man, I'll tell you something else. Ryan had a sweet white Falcon that he played. Dude.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that on the radio one time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
His photo was on there, remember?
Yeah, yep. His he plays really well. He sang a couple of songs, including Your Mama Don't Dance. And the band was great. It was just really an amazing. If you have a chance, go check out the Shabby Road Record Show. They don't just do Kiss. They do Kiss sometimes, but you know it's all over the place. And that is, one of the things that makes the show really cool. And he was super nice. He was so excited.
That's awesome. You get to meet everybody. It makes me jealous, man.
It's like, I haven't met you guys. I got to work this out, man.
We will. And what's crazy is we were supposed to meet each other yesterday in Cleveland, but yeah, obviously that didn't happen.
That did not happen. Did you guys get to do your vacation?
She's been on vacation all week, so we've been doing a lot of shit. We went to the lake. I got fucking burned so bad, dude. I'm like,
again?
Like a total lobster, man. Peeling, all that.
Yeah, I was supposed to go with him, but I didn't get my cast off yet, so I couldn't go.
It was a good time.
We gotta figure out how to get you some SPF 1 million or something.
Well, once I get a nice couple burns in, I'm good for the rest of the year.
he's like that that movie Powder.
They did used to call me a teenage vampire when I was a kid.
I remember one year Jody and I kept going over every day, like all summer, to his aunt's house to swim. And man, by the time summer was over with, we were walking into places and we looked like Mexicans. I mean, we were dark. People were like, what the hell? It's like, yeah, I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny.
Podcast Rock City.
Okay, so you got a Sweet 16?
I do got a Sweet 16.
All right, dude, let's knock it out.
Let's do it. D-Rock's never done one with us.
I do not think so, right.
So you want to explain it to him?
Yeah, Sweet 16 is just like a basketball Sweet 16, except we throw in, instead of bands, instead of basketball teams, we throw in records or songs or whatever, tours.
Yeah, anything.
We vote on them, and we come up with the top one, and then you guys get to write us and tell us how wrong we are. All right, so this week's Sweet 16 is?
This is the Sweet 16 of the Kiss albums, a.k.a. Ooh. The solo albums.
So we've got songs that come, so we got four songs off of each?
I don't know if there's four from each, but all the best ones, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. As far as I'm concerned.
Gotcha. Okay, so let's start.
All right, here we go with round one, fellas. Sweet 16 of the Kiss albums.
Kiss.
We got Tonight You Belong to Me versus Snowblind.
Oh.
It's tough, right?
Well, I'm going to go with Tonight You Belong with Me.
Okay.
What do you think, D-Rock?
I agree.
Ooh, Snowblind, goodbye.
Snowblind is edged out.
What would you have picked, Jimmy?
I would have went Tonight You Belong to Me.
Okay.
Number two round, I Can't Stop the Rain versus Mr. Make-Believe.
I Can't Stop the Rain. I love that song.
What do you got, D-Rock?
That's a tough one.
Well, hold on. I'm going to go Mr. Make-Believe, so now you got to break the tie.
You.
I have to agree with Joe.
Wow, Peter made it through past Gene.
Wow, that's all I can say.
Yeah,
I know that's just hard for me because I'm diehard Gene. You know?
Right, yeah.
Alright, well, how about this one? Radioactive versus Move On, the battle of the Dynasty Tour live cuts.
Oh, that's easy for me.
What you got?
I have to go with Move On.
What about you, Joe?
I like Move On as well.
So do I. So, Radioactive gets the axe.
Yeah, man, I gotta tell you guys something while we're sitting here, because I'm gonna I just happened to be watching the Scooby-Doo movie while we're sitting here, you know?
Yeah.
And Paul's battling the bad guy, you know?
Yeah.
And I noticed what looks to be Paul is shooting like this... it's out of his hand, it looks like. Like a pyramid, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Right?
Paul's on some Illuminati shit, huh?
Well, here's the thing. I'm trying to... It looks like it's the pyramid that he's shooting out of his hand in the Viewmaster pictures, man.
Awesome. I never noticed that. Yeah, I know what you're talking... I never noticed that in the movie. I'm gonna have to put that on later.
Yep, I'm rewinding right now.
I thought you were
going
to say he was shooting some kind of Ankh power just to fuck with Vinny.
No, like, I was just... I'm watching Family Guy while it's on, and they were in the nursing home, and one of the... They were doing, like, a look-alike thing with the old people in the nursing home, and they had one dressed up like Gene Simmons.
Did they?
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, yes, it is a pyramid. How awesome. I'm pretty sure that everybody would agree with me that that's what that is. So go back and watch it, and then look at the pictures from,
Viewmaster.
From the Viewmaster, and you tell me what you think if it was all influenced by that. All right, sorry. Let's keep going.
We're talking What's On Your Mind, classic Ace track versus It's All Right.
Ooh. I'll go with What's On Your Mind.
Dent, dent. What you got, D-Rocker?
I have to go with It's All Right.
Wow. Jody's breaking the tie.
I love each of these songs a lot, so... But I think that It's All Right's probably stronger. It's Paul Stanley vocals, you know?
All right.
Paul's okay. Vocals edge
it
out.
It's All Right.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, that's one of my favorite Ace tunes, but I kind of prefer Paul to Ace's, you know that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's move on.
That's what she told me. How about See You Tonight versus Ozone?
Ozone.
Yeah? What about you, D-Rock?
I See You Tonight.
Yeah? To me, that's a no-brainer. It's got to be Ozone. It just rocks so much harder.
It does.
I do really like See You Tonight, and... The weird part about that one for me was, like, I never really dug that one that much until Unplugged. And I was like, that's not so bad, you know?
That's what really turned it around for me, too. I got a better, respect for the song hearing it that way.
Yeah, sounds really good, Unplugged. All right, so Ozone will take that one. How about Speeding Back to My Baby? Oh, wait a second. There's a duplicate here. What the fuck? It has Speeding Back to My Baby versus It's All Right. So how about... Speeding Back to My Baby versus Hooked on Rock and Roll.
Ooh, I like... Man, that's a tough, tough one for me. I'm going to go with...
Not for me.
I'll go with Speeding Back to My Baby.
Yeah, me too. What would you have said, D-Rock?
Man, that's tough, but I have to agree.
Hooked on Rock and Roll.
It's one of my favorite on the Peter record, but
yeah,
it doesn't hold a candle to Ace, dude.
Yeah,
not even close.
It's true.
All right, well, what about Take Me Away, Together as One, versus Rip It Out?
Nah, I'll go with Rip It Out because I love that song so much.
I go with Rip It Out, too.
Yeah, Rip It Out, I'll take it. I think I might have went with Take Me Away, but you can't deny Rip It Out. It's such a great one. That was a tough choice, because those are two really good ones. Oh, here's an easy one as far as I'm concerned. Wouldn't You Like to Know Me versus Man of a Thousand Faces.
Oh, man, I don't think I've picked a Gene one yet.
It's hard to.
All right, I'm going to pick Man of a Thousand Faces just to see where it goes.
What you got, D-Rock?
Sorry, Gene, but I'm going with the Paul.
And you know me. I got to say, Wouldn't You Like to Know Me taste.
Yeah, you love that song.
It's one of my favorite Paul Stanley songs of all time. All right, so we're going to get into round two, right?
Yes.
Well, how about Tonight You Belong to Me versus I Can't Stop the Rain?
Tonight You Belong to Me.
Obviously.
Yep.
Yes.
That's like Tyson versus anyone in the 80s.
Yeah, right.
Good point.
Before he started biting ears off.
Yeah.
Well, here's a double Paul one. How about Move On versus It's All Right?
I pick Move On.
I like Move On, too. That's a little bit more of a rockier one.
Yeah.
I mean, they're both great. I don't think there is a bad song on Paul's, but comparing the two, I go with Move On.
All right. Well, what about Ozone? This is a double ace one. Ozone versus Speeding Back to My Baby.
Oh.
I don't mean maybe.
I'll go with Speeding Back to My Baby.
I'm going Ozone. What you got, D-Rocker?
I was actually going to go with Ozone on that one, too.
Oh, I lost. Speed back to my baby. And I don't mean baby. All right.
Have you ever heard of Donna's cover of that?
Yeah.
Kicks ass. All right. So what about Rip It Out versus Wouldn't You Like to Know Me?
Yeah, this is going to be hard for you, but that's what I'm going to say... I'm going to say Rip It Out because I love the drum solos and the solo's good.
Yeah, it is. I'm going to say Wouldn't You Like to Know Me. So it comes down to D-Rock.
I got to go with Rip It Out.
Whoop.
Not surprising, really.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, I mean, Rip It Out is one of the greatest ones on all of the solo albums.
Well, plus it holds a big spot with me, too, because that's the first Kiss song me and you ever played live.
Yeah. True that. Well, how about Tonight You Belong to Me versus Move On? It's easy.
Yeah, Tonight You Belong to Me.
D-Rock?
I agree.
Yeah, me too. Tonight You Belong to Me, we'll take that one. How about Ozone versus Rip It Out?
Rip It Out. Yeah. Oh, man, it's going to come down to...
Yeah.
It's going to come down to...
Yeah, it's always all like... Right. Okay, so I would go Rip It Out as well. D-Rock?
What would you have
said? Okay. So, sort of predictably, man, it comes down to these two. And when I look at it, I do think these are probably two of the strongest ones on the whole collection of
absolutely.
The Kiss albums. It's Tonight You Belong to Me versus Rip It Out. Now, that is a tough one, man. That is a tough one.
That is tough. But I'm going to go with Tonight You Belong with Me.
To Me.
To Me, sorry, my brain's out there.
You're all good. D-Rock, what are you going to do?
They're both really awesome songs, but Tonight You Belong to Me is just put together so much better. You know, dynamically, I got to go with that one.
So Tonight You Belong to Me, we'll take it.
Yeah, I just realized what I did. I crossed the Paul Stanley song, Tonight You Belong to Me, with the Taylor Swift song, You Belong with Me. And
that's insulting.
Oh, but you know what? Let me tell you. Did you guys ever go online and watch her on that tour with Brad Paisley? I think it was. No. Maybe it wasn't Brad Paisley. One of them where it was the last show on the tour that Taylor Swift was going to do, and she dressed like Ace, and the rest of the band dressed like Kiss, and they went out there. Well, that guy sang that song, I Want to Kiss a Girl. I don't know who the singer is. Oh, yeah, man. God. Go online. It shows her in makeup with the wig and playing guitar. Cool. It's like the hottest Ace you'll ever see.
Yeah.
Yeah, she looked great, man. I was really... There's even a behind-the-scenes thing where she got some Kiss tribute guys to come in and do all their makeup.
It's great. Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It's not, so, you know, anyway, that was my thing. So, you see, she's not cool as Paul Stanley, but she was smart enough to dress as Ace, right?
Right.
Right.
Anyway, Tonight You Belong With Me took it.
To me.
On this, yeah, so I did it again.
He's got Taylor on the brain.
Woo! She's so cute.
Tay-Tay. Anyway,
she's been taking bikini pictures lately, too, and I've been watching them.
She looked better than Sophie? I don't think so.
That's a tough one. We'll have to Sweet 16 it.
Sweet 16 with Taylor's and Sophie's body parts.
Yeah. Anyway, well, thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to go to iTunes and subscribe to our show. Leave us a review. That would be awesome. Jody, do you have anything to add?
I would add, Andrew, if you're listening, we miss you and we love you, buddy. You know, hope you get better soon. And thanks, everyone, for listening. We always appreciate it. And don't forget, Wednesday nights, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Right, Joe?
Yeah. Yes, we'll probably...
KGFRocks.com.
Yeah, we'll probably be starting this week. So just got to get it all together.
Yep,
absolutely. D-Rock, first, thank you for coming on board tonight.
Thank you.
Do you have anything to add?
Nope, just love you guys and all you listeners. Just keep checking in. I'm sure you'll hear more of me soon. So,
absolutely. And I want to thank you guys for listening. Just like I said, last week we did huge, huge numbers. Bigger than I think we've ever done before. And I thank you guys. So, keep listening. Go back, listen to all the old shows. And as you can tell, we are big Kiss fans and Kiss podcast fans, and we listen to tons of podcasts, and especially Kiss podcasts, and we play all their commercials at the end of our show, and you're going to hear them in 3, 2, 1.
Peace. You wanted the best, you got the best, and if you want the hottest show on Montco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Montco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Greetings from Jandel Kiss Army. Strange Ways Podcast is having a rock and roll party and you are invited. Right. Tune in and hang out with your Kiss Army bros where they celebrate and discuss the gods of thunder. Kiss. You can find the Earth versions on Podomatic, iTunes, Facebook, and Stitcher. Just Google us.
Yes.
Thanks for listening and remember to eat it like a piece of cake.
History Science Theater, the most civilized.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine G with like a washed up bass. Boom, 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 boom.
And serious.
No, wait. Excuse me, Bob. You're going to come over and do my album.
Kiss Podcast on the web. History Science Theater. We bust balls because we care.
All right, Kiss Army. Since 2007, you've been getting Podkissed, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
That's right, it's your Podkissed. Every month, the Podkissed crew, along with the Kiss Room, brings you Kiss talk like no one else, whether it be roundtables, interviews with the band past and present, analysis, and great Kiss fun.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to Podkissed.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to Podkissed.
The Podkissed, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
Hey, everybody, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast, and if you love this...
Then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll, and it's always free. Sitting around with time to kill. Ladies and gentlemen, do you like metal, punk rock, hardcore, and cracking jokes about being a fan? Yes? Then check out Music the Lifeblood, the podcast that goes deep into the core of being a fan, with new music from badass bands, band and genre discussions, along with in-depth interviews from some of punk, metal, and hardcore's titans. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Tumblr, and Facebook. Something old, something new, what are you listening to?
Music, the lifeblood. Baby, you know it's only you and me. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all I need. A generation
behind. We're going nowhere, and that's just fine. I'm afraid I've given you all the time I can spare at the moment, my dear. You'll have to come back. Thank you, and goodbye.